Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. You starting right here at WFHR. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
Got some entertainment news for you coming up. A little bit of That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all that mixed in. But we kick off our 9 o'clock hour on Thursdays with our Pet of the Week from the Southfield County Humane Society. We say a good morning to our friends over there at the Humane Society and remind you that the Southfield County Humane Society will be closed today due to the weather. All after-hour stray pickup services not available until further notice. Keep an eye on their webpage, their Facebook, to keep up to date on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we, of course, want to send a big shout-out to our sponsors for this segment. We've been so lucky. We have different sponsors all the time for this segment. It's so much fun. Seth, who is our sponsor this week?
Today, we've got the Club Forest Bar and Restaurant. They have been proudly family-owned and operated since 1927. They've been around for a long time, serving their char-grilled burger, specialty sandwiches, and pizzas. Great for the whole family. Thank you very much to them. Yeah, making everyone hungry right now.
A big thank you to Madison and Ashley. Madison sent Ashley the information and got it to me. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you guys that our Pet of the Week is actually two guys.
Oh, great.
Two little furry guys. Ace and Axel, a bonded pair.
Aww.
Ace is 8 months old. Axel is a year. This spunky banded pair was surrendered to the Southfield County Humane Society in no fault of their own. Ace and Axel are small bred Chihuahua mixes. Combined, their weight is under 20 pounds.
Wow.
These boys are very bonded to each other and are looking for a dedicated home for them.
Mm-hmm.
These boys are spunky as could be. They do well with other dogs and have been around kids. They have not been around cats. These boys are neutered, up to date on vaccine, and microchipped. If you are interested in these cool little guys and you want to bring them, you can take them both and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested, you can fill out an application online at SWCHS.com. SWCHS.com.
All right. And little dogs.
Little guys.
Little guys.
And very cool little guys, too. I'm looking at pictures of them right now, and they could not look sweeter. Very friendly dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Are they light-colored Chihuahuas?
There's one that's a light brown, like a tan, and there's one that's black.
Aww. Oh, nice.
I see a little bit of white in the face. That's about it. Otherwise, and a little white stripe on his head. Otherwise, tan and black and white, whitish.
Okay.
I will say. both look very friendly and very sweet. And when you're able to do these things where you can bring two animals into your home at once or something like that, you're a Jane Goodall. You're just a wonderful human being.
Superhero.
Mm-hmm. I really, really appreciate those kind of things. I think we take too lightly animals' feelings. I do not think that we can be a society that puts animal feelings above human feelings. I'm not saying that or anything, but I don't think it's asking a lot since, I don't know, we domesticated these things. when we can do this, we keep them in-house. Yeah. We keep them together.
We sound like we have a little responsibility here, I think. Yes.
I think so.
I think you're right.
Melissa brought up a great example earlier about America's history and how we all have to take ownership of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a similar thing where we have to take ownership of this kind of thing. I'm not saying that every human being has to own a dog, but everybody can be dog friendly. Everybody can be dog, positive or animal positive, I should say.
Or understanding.
Understanding
is a great way of putting it. I am not.
Because not everybody is a good dog owner.
Yes.
You're right. I am personally not. I mean, I grew up with a couple of dogs. I am not interested in getting another dog for the rest of my life. But I am not going to, I cheer people who take in animals. And I have nothing against the animals, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's willing to do that, I applaud. Because that's a big responsibility.
We did want to mention before we get into our... let's actually go over this one more time.
So, sure.
Ace and Axel, bonded pair. Ace is 8 months. Axel is 1 year old. These are small breed Chihuahua mixes. Combined, their weight is under 20 pounds. These boys are very bonded to each other and are looking for a dedicated home for them both. If you can, they do well with other dogs. They've been around kids. They have not been around cats. The boys are neutered, up to date on vaccine and microchip. And if you're interested, you can fill out an application online right now at swchs.com. Be sure to bookmark that page, swchs.com. I want to send again a big thank you to our friends at the Humane Society, to Madison, and of course, our sponsor this week.
Yep, Club Forest Bar and Restaurant. They are located at 1176 Club Forest Drive in Plover. Check it out. Great for families. And they got burgers and sandwiches, pizzas. What else? They got everything that you would want right there. Family owned and operated since 1927. Go check it out.
Be sure to follow the South Oconee Humane Society on Facebook as well, and be listening next Thursday for another furry friend to join us. We're looking forward to that. I don't know what Madison will have for us next week. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be good. Before we dive into some entertainment news, we did want to touch on some cancellations. As we were talking about earlier in the show, Focus and everything under that umbrella closed for today. Our friends over at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, Meals on Wheels, is closed for the day, as is in-person meals.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth, you have something
The ODC, of course, is also closed today due to the, of course, winter weather and, of course, the hazardous travel conditions. I think since it's not snowing too much anymore, but the roads still aren't doing great. So keep that in mind when you're going out today, everybody.
The Lincoln High School boys basketball game against DC Everest that was scheduled for tonight has been canceled.
Mm-hmm, that is correct.
Keep that in mind.
Oh, and I do want to mention real quick, there was supposed to be a community health clinic at the YMCA today. WIRI was actually going to broadcast at that, but that has been postponed as well. We will let you know when that's going to be happening again, because we will be broadcasting from there. So
And the COVID testing that happens in Portage County on Thursdays was canceled for today as well.
All right.
And my my workshop, The Simpsons 101, How to Learn to Impersonate Every Simpsons Character, has been canceled again.
And should stay that way.
Yeah, probably should stay that way. Probably should. Diving into a little bit of entertainment news now. After last year's infamous slap, the Oscars are making sure they're prepared for anything. They even went as far as assembling a, quote, crisis team.
A crisis team?
An Academy executive told Time magazine, quote, because of last year, we've opened our minds to the many things that can happen at the Oscars. But these crisis plans, the crisis communication teams and structures we have in place, allow us to say this is the group that we have to gather very quickly. And depending on specifics of the crisis and, quote, let's hope something doesn't happen and we never have to use these. But we already have frameworks in place in case.
All right.
To all of this, I understand where they're coming from and everything, and I don't believe a word of it.
You don't believe a word of it?
I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe it. Did they do this to make sure that they can, like, cover their bases so that if there's an email chain or something like that, 100%. It gets uncovered? I'm sure they did that. But do you think that the Academy doesn't want another situation like that again? To where for months, all we're talking about is the Academy Awards? Like, we haven't done that in years.
I know.
We were kids the last time people talked about the Oscars the way we just talked about this
last
Oscars.
Something controversial happened, yeah.
It wasn't for the reasons they want, maybe. But do they care? No.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Right. They've been begging for people to watch these award shows, let alone the Oscars, for years. They finally got people to tune in and everything. You think that they're going to turn that away?
Well, I got to tell you, we are known, if nothing else, on the morning show, we are known for bold ideas.
Yes.
I think they should make every winner get slapped. They should lean into it.
Wow.
You won. Whap. There you go. Love tap.
We are actors. We can fake a stage slap.
That's right. You're supposed to be able to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, typically they're very well rehearsed beforehand.
That's true.
Can you imagine the rigorous training that would have to happen for every nominee?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
All right, guys, show up for your slapping practice.
I would love to see that, and we're just slapping each other.
Over under how many slapping references there's going to be in this year's Oscars, because you got a bunch of comedians and a live microphone.
Yeah. So do they have a single host this year? I don't even know. I mean,
I don't think they've decided that yet. Yeah.
All right.
I actually had to look up what happened last year. I mean, I remember it happening. I didn't remember it was at the Oscars.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
Pay attention, but. Obviously, I knew that happened, but I was like, oh my goodness, crisis team? What happened that they need a crisis team? Was there like a bomb threat? Like, that's who needs counseling after watching somebody get slapped.
Yeah. Well, we do know the Academy is opening up their minds, whatever that means, because apparently they were closed before. I don't know.
Maybe need to open their eyes and maybe start nominating some people that don't look like all the people that are not making sure that who's nominated.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There's a new version of Mean Girls in the works based on the Broadway musical version. Tina Fey is back as the teacher, and she's also writer and producer. The girls will obviously be being played by younger actresses, but the original stars, Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, and Lacey Chabert, were reportedly going to have roles until the studio insulted them.
Uh-oh.
Supposedly, Paramount offered them too little money, so they turned it down. Quote, all four girls were willing to come back, but Paramount has not been respectful of what they were worth. As of now, the negotiations are stalled. And I will almost guarantee you that they will work this out behind the scenes, and those four actors, if not two or three of them, will be in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason
they can't do that movie without them.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, and there's bad PR.
Exactly.
I'm auditioning for movies. Wait a minute. This is an audition for Paramount? No, thanks. I've heard about them. They're the Southwest Airlines. Paramount's been hurting for a long time.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff is part of the this stuff is finally coming out. They've been doing this for decades, mm-hmm. but they've never taken the black eye from it. Now they're finally getting held accountable for this stuff.
Good for those. I mean, look at these names that you just read off.
Yeah.
These are women that have clout.
Yeah.
They've established very solid careers, and they can say, "Hey, wait a minute. You can't take advantage of me. Come on now." And I applaud all of them for doing that.
Yeah.
It's not as if they're asking for billions of dollars.
No.
They're asking for the scale.
Fair.
Yeah,
fair.
They're asking for scale.
Yeah.
Like, what is a minimum wage to actors? That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez.
And guys, I looked it up. It's going to be Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, that's
for
right.
Hosting the Oscars.
That's
and his quote, "Being invited to host the Oscars for the third time is either a great honor or a trap."
That's a good line.
He's good at that stuff. He's quick on his feet and everything. He'll be good. He's done good at that in the past. He'll do good at it. Dierks Bentley's new album, Grave and Gold, is out tomorrow, and he's promoting it with a live stream concert tonight.
Whoa.
Ooh.
7 o'clock Eastern Time, an evening with Dierks Bentley, The Road to Gravel and Gold, will stream on a new Twitch channel called 3.5. And I can guarantee, because I Googled it just in case. I know what Twitch is, but for those that don't, if you just Google this, an evening with Dierks Bentley, you will find that Twitch page, and it'll pop up to all the fans of his that want to watch that show tonight. I've got to teach, so I can't watch that. I think that this should be the new way of releasing music. People are getting your music for free all the time, all over the place. Why not have some ownership of that and lead that and kind of get in front of it a little bit? Because it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that human beings are always going to find a way to get around and get to do. And getting music for free seems like something that we're always going to find ways to do.
Yep.
And that's not fair to musicians. That's not fair to those artists. I wholeheartedly agree with that. But the idea of it not happening is a little foolish. I don't think you're going to ever have that happen. It goes back to having two tape decks on a boombox, and I buy a tape and I record a version for my buddy, and that kind of
thing. Or even off the radio, taping it off the radio.
So I think something like this, he's almost getting ahead of that.
Yeah,
and giving people and you're still going to want, no matter how great he is live, his album music's going to sound different. It's going to sound clearer and crisper. So if you like a song, I got to get that. And then you go download the album or download one of those songs off of the album.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea.
I have to really hand it to country artists. They I feel like they are adapting to the modern tech world and all these things way better than a lot of other.
I think you're right.
Like hip hop, what did they do? They went auto-tune. I'm very disappointed in the hip hop industry. I love hip hop.
They're not the only ones that went auto-tune.
Not by any means. But that's my wheelhouse. So I'm picking on that.
Right.
And I hope it's a fade a trend that fades.
It seems like it. It seems like it already has in many ways. But even now, nobody can be a rapper anymore. Like even a guy like Kendrick Lamar sings a little bit. I kind of miss
which is fascinating to me, considering where hip hop came from. It was all about. It had nothing to do with singing. It was all about rhyming and all that. Wow.
Spoken word.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really, Melissa just touched it. It's spoken word. That's what rap was supposed to be, was spoken word with a beat to it.
Yep.
That should be interesting. Again, if you're curious to see that Dierks Bentley live concert, you can go to the Twitch channel 3.5, and that's the number 3.5.
All right.
And finally, in the entertainment, one of our last entertainment things, Brad Paisley has just scored a new record deal with Universal Nashville. The terms weren't released, but it'll kick off his next album, which is expected to come out later this year. The first single, Same Here, will be out tomorrow.
Interesting.
He shared the news on social media and playfully joked about his improved guitar playing while we're at it. Because he's taking a little heat for that, I guess, and everything. But I don't think there's many people who are better at the MC gang than Brad Paisley. I don't know a ton of his music, but he is so comfortable on stage and so good with working with an audience.
Those guys, I appreciate artists who can do that. Yeah. I really do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ones who can be self-deprecating.
Oh, yes.
In a stylish fashion.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. I generally love seeing that.
Before we move on from entertainment news, this seems like the perfect time to mention Hoozle's Rise to Music.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's coming up again.
The sequel.
Yeah. And they've been working on this behind the scenes. So local artists, start working on your stuff, because this is going to be an opportunity for you to get out in front of an audience and show them what you're made of.
That's right.
Really glad you brought that up, Melissa. Steph and I were talking a little bit about this with our show Director's Cut. Mm-hmm. We have more room now for these artists and more to offer artists and everything.
Yeah, a longer time frame.
Yeah, exactly.
And certainly a shout out to Hoozles. We love working with them. Great people over there. It's a great bar. Got to send a big, big shout out to Steph on this one.
Huge.
This is such a passion for her. She loves doing this so much, and she's putting such good work into this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we do start, having it talked about and promoting it and everything, that's going to be fun and great. But I never want anybody to miss what's going on behind the curtain and all that incredible work that is happening.
Yes. 100%.
Yes, this is Steph's baby, and she is doing such an awesome job with it.
Yes.
We got some That Ain't Right stories coming up for you in just a little bit. And one of them that we got to get into, zombies. We're going to talk zombies.
That ain't right.
And do you know how to kill a zombie?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
The zombie apocalypse.
Getting prepared. We're getting prepared, everybody. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. And we just got a short break here before we get to Mel's news. So we're going to touch on some That Ain't Right stories for you.
All right.
We are going to get into how many of us know how to kill a zombie a little bit later. It's important information. We're an information station. We have to cover these things.
Okay, good.
The Shamrock.
I don't watch the zombie movie, so I am clueless.
You're clueless. Mm-hmm. You need to know.
The Shamrock Shake is officially back on the McDonald's menu. According to the fast food giant, the shake was created in 1967 by Hal Rosen, a Connecticut McDonald's owner and operator. It debuted nationally in 1970 and was an instant success across the country. The frozen treat made its annual debut on Monday, February 20th, for those that did not know. For those who have somehow made it to 2023 without ordering one, the seasonal shake involves blending vanilla soft serve with minty shamrock shake syrup and a whipped cream topper.
I love that shamrock shaped syrup. We're not telling you what's in it. You kidding me? Hey, I've never had one. I'm one of those people. I've never had a shamrock shake.
I've never had one either. Yep. I don't even know if I've had a shake from McDonald's before.
I don't think I have either, now that I think about it.
I'm pretty sure I have, but the ones from Arby's are better.
Yes. Well, I do like shakes. My dad is a big believer because he did this when he was a boxer and everything. You drink, especially late at night, shakes can help you put on weight. So of course, always have me have shakes. And chocolate is usually all I go to, but at Arby's, they have a Jamocha shake.
Yeah.
And it is the greatest shake of all time.
Wow.
It's amazing.
High praise.
Oh, I love it. Mm. Oh, I drink that every day. Every day I'd have one of those. It's been too long since I've had one.
Yeah.
Those are really good.
And then, of course, there's Wendy's Frosties.
Those are good.
Those I have had. I do like Frosties, yeah.
And I have to tell you guys, I was in the grocery store on Tuesday getting my indulgence food that I get now for election nights, which is sugary cereal.
Nice.
And so I was looking for my Frosted Flakes, and they actually have a Wendy's Frosty cereal.
Wow.
Because of course they do.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. Tastes
interesting.
Like a Frosty.
Interesting.
I'm surprised my kids haven't asked for that yet.
Frosted
Flakes
are great.
It's on the top shelf.
Oh, that's why. Okay, they can't see it.
Yep.
I love Frosted Flakes. Now you got.
They are good.
I haven't had them in too long. I got to get some of those.
You know, in my defense, I also bought Bran Flakes, and I poured half and half in the bowl.
You can't even indulge, right, Melissa? Come on now. What's going on?
I was just going to say the same thing.
Come on, guys. I needed the fiber. I wasn't going to crash halfway through the live show.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
I disagree. She needs to be taught.
One of our That Ain't Right stories today. I really had to look into this one because I thought it was an Onion headline at first. And it made me laugh out loud.
Ooh.
Oh.
There is a new LOL verifier, which is, for those that don't know, LOL is a, you know, abbreviation, laugh out loud. It's used in text and all that. So, lots of love. Yeah, so there you go.
That's what I always thought it was.
That's awesome.
Really?
That is awesome.
Someone taught me. Oh, that's what it means. Okay.
I love the idea for years, Seth getting these text messages and some goofy message that has LOL at the end. Why'd they say lots of love?
What is going on here? That's weird.
There's nothing loving about that joke. There is a new LOL verifier, which is a gadget that stops you from typing LOL if you didn't actually laugh out loud.
What?
It is a small polyacid plastic silicone microcontroller. Run an LED. The LOL verifier is a device that sits between your keyboard and your computer and only lets you type LOL if you truly laughed out loud.
Bringing
authenticity to the least authentic place, the internet.
Okay, are you sure this is not an Onion headline?
Are you very sure?
I'm looking at it.
I know.
It's right here.
How much does it cost?
That I'm not seeing. That I have yet to really see. So
because they haven't found anyone that wants to buy it yet.
That's the thing. Is it people who use it too much? Who use LOL too much?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. What they're looking at.
Sometimes it's a better response than a thumbs up, in my opinion.
hey, you dissing the thumbs up?
Yes, I am.
I'm gonna agree with Melissa on this one.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm gonna move to the okay sign instead.
I think that might be better. Okay. We'll take a break right on that. We'll come back with some more That Ain't Right stuff. We're going to tell you how to kill zombies.
All right.
We got that coming up for you. Hopefully there's not a zombie apocalypse in between like Melissa's news and when we come back.
Melissa would be sunk.
They have to get through the snow. And there are literally 4-foot snowdrifts outside my bathroom window.
I love the idea of whether it's a zombie apocalypse or aliens coming to this planet. Like, they happen to come right here to Wisconsin right when there's a snowstorm. Like, I don't see how they're doing in spring.
Yeah. We'll come back later.
We will take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun after Melissa's news here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR. Serious comedy, start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. 9:35 on the clock. We're going to get into an important topic right now. Zombies have been trending because of the popular HBO show The Last of Us. And a new poll found over half of Americans think that they know how to kill a zombie.
Over half. All right.
We're sure of this one. 53%. 53% say they know how. The other 47% don't. So they're definitely future zombies. We're going to try to prevent some future zombies by helping you out here with this one. I have to say, before we dive too deeply into this, none of us know how to kill a zombie.
No.
Nobody does.
No.
Because it hasn't happened. Because they're not real. This is the same type of people that will tell you, I know how to kill a vampire. Really?
Really?
So you've done this before. I suppose you could tell me where Bigfoot is as well.
You didn't have to bring Bigfoot into this. Come on now.
It's a sore subject. Sore spot. 24% of us don't think it's weird to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. And more than 1 in 10 think that there will be one someday. Of those people, 69% think it'll happen in the next 30 years, including 11% who think zombies already exist.
11%. Okay.
Oh, my fellow humans. 11% is way too high. 1% would be too high, but 11% is very much too high.
Yeah.
Where do you think these zombies, what do you think they're doing? They're like hiding? Wait.
Don't let anybody know you're dead. Fake it. Yeah. Here's some blush. Shh. Don't tell anyone.
What's that smell?
Oh, not me. Give me the Axe body spray.
Please, no.
It can smell worse.
That would be terrible.
The top weapons we'd want to have are a shotgun.
Of course.
Because you've seen it in movies. Look, I got nothing against shotguns, but you got most shotguns, what, they got two in the chamber?
Yeah.
But no.
Right, yeah.
Oh, this is the only time in life I will say normal human beings can use an automatic weapon. that's it. End of
that's
list.
That's like the one time. Yeah,
there's only
exactly.
one reason you need an automatic weapon if you are not in the military or something like that. And that is if a zombie apocalypse. Yes, zombies.
Yep, there
that's
you go.
It. Otherwise,
the only reason.
Yeah. A handgun, a bat, a machete, and a crossbow. Sword, axe, knife, and grenade also made the top 10. No automatic weapons. None. Not a single automatic weapon.
What
about a chainsaw?
A chainsaw. Ooh. For the love of God, a chainsaw.
Oh, come on, Ash. What did Ash teach us? Nothing?
Yes. Did the Evil Dead teach us nothing?
Nothing?
Yeah.
Man.
I haven't even watched this stuff.
Yeah, you even know that. Come on.
The average person thinks that they could kill 39 zombies per day if they had to.
Oh, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously?
You're lying to yourself. You're just lying to yourself.
Man. They all think they're going to be the ones that survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Sure. Whatever. Yeah. Odds are no.
Who's the top person you'd trust in a zombie apocalypse? The top answers were myself, a friend, my dad, my brother, and my mom.
Okay. There you go.
My mother.
None of them would be zombies.
I could see this happening. I'm at my folks' house. They break in. They get through the front door. And immediately my mother steps in front of us and starts guilting these zombies for not wiping their feet before they came in the house. And they die off like instantly from the Jewish guilt. Like just boom, 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 left and right. Like
they hang their heads and
it
just falls
off. Yes, exactly. I know exactly how this will go down.
Sorry. The only thing that's running through my head now is, Dad, you just killed the zombie Flanders. He was a zombie?
Yes. Great line. Of everyone you know, who would be the first person bitten? The number one answer was myself.
So wait a minute. So everyone thinks they're going to be killing like dozens of zombies, but they also think they're going to be the first one to become a zombie? This doesn't...
Seems a little contradictory.
Well, it's a hypothetical question of something that's never going to happen, so I guess whatever. We'll go with it.
The rest of the top five are my mom, my pet, my grandma, and a coworker.
My grandma? Wait a minute.
Grandma.
My pet.
It's not enough that we ran her over with a reindeer. Now we're a zombie.
Zombie dogs.
Poor
zombie.
Grandma.
They want the zombie dogs to come out. You really have to worry about zombie cats, though. Those are the ones you really have to worry about.
They're sneaky.
They're smart.
If a loved one got turned into a zombie, would you take them out? 2/3 say yes, they'd have to.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the plot of every zombie story ever told.
This is, you know what, in order to figure this out, well, there's only one movie to watch to prepare for this. And that is Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
That is the one movie you need to prepare.
That's exactly the one.
And how to keep them as your pet after, you know, everything goes back to sort of normal, right?
Yeah. Is that one a comedy?
It is.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah.
I just had to ask.
I would say dark comedy, but yeah.
It's very funny, yes.
It is very funny. I think as far as dark comedies go, that and Zombieland are probably my two favorites that I like of those. And speaking of these movies and stuff, which movies and shows have the most accurate zombies? For what it's worth, The Last of Us, which is the more recent one that kind of brought this subject up, ranked 10th. These five got the most votes. The Walking Dead, 28 Days Later, World War Z, I Am Legend, and Zombieland.
Hmm. Not the classics here? No Romero in this?
I think these are people that are missing the classics.
Yes, come on, man.
That old black and white Evil
Night
Dead.
Night of the Living Dead.
That's the one.
It's still a scary movie. It still freaks me out if you watch. Man.
It's one of the best done horror movies ever.
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 They're coming for you, Barbara.
Mm, God, that's a good line. It's so good. I think that one of the cool things that I like about The Last of Us that's so different than these other ones is this involves a fungi that basically has been kept dormant because it's too the planet's too cold for it to survive and everything. But with global warming and all this stuff happening, this fungi ends up being able to get into our flour and our products like that almost every one of us eat.
Yep.
And it infects people. Yeah. It starts infecting
people. It's one of the most plausible zombifications in literature. Yeah.
And I think that's the real reason why this subject is coming up more and more, because it's not enough for us to just have zombies happened. Like every once in a while, you've got something like The Walking Dead where they never explain.
They never even tell you. Yeah.
What happened. But majority of movies will tell you why the zombie apocalypse happened. Mm-hmm. And then it said apocalypse. But they're getting more. You can't anymore just say zombies are here. Like you have to have the science to kind of make it more realistic, to bring people in, to scare them a little bit more. I actually think it's very good storytelling.
Yeah.
The Underworld movies were really good at this. For decades, we've just talked about vampire as you know, vampire, you get bit and you become a vampire.
Yep.
In the Underworld movies, they talked about the way it attacks your cells and different things. Ooh. And that it's a virus kind of stuff and everything. And I thought that was a really cool take on it.
And there's something about the time it's made. So, for instance, the original Land of the Living Dead from 1967, it was cosmic rays that did it. And, of course, lots of space stuff going on at that time, the space race, these new discoveries about what's out there, and they knew about radiation and all this stuff. So, and again, so now you've got up to now when you've got The Last of Us, where it's global warming. It's about climate change. Yeah. It kind of brings that to the fore.
It actually brings things full circle in some ways with zombie stories, because that Night of the Living Dead was actually not about zombies. It was about racism. It was about human rights. It was about, it's the first movie where the lead action star is an African American.
Yep.
It's the first time that happened in movies. Yep. And it went under the radar because of all the zombie stuff and everything. And that's all people.
Because everyone was shocked by, the scenes of them eating flesh and all these things. Yeah.
It's similar to what Stan Lee was trying to do with the Fantastic Four and a lot of the superheroes and everything, and showing not just racism and anti-Semitism and sexism and those things, and how we can even do this to superheroes and that kind of thing. Which states are most prepared for a zombie apocalypse? The study looked at zombie-related Google searches per capita. The most prepared states are Wyoming, Alaska, Vermont, and the Dakotas.
Just say Canada. Let's just all go to Canada.
The least prepared are California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Pennsylvania. Those are also the five most populated states in that order.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely, you might want to know what's going down if you're living in one of those areas.
Exactly, because of the large population area. I get it. Yeah.
I just think it's fun to go over all this stuff and everything, but I would not put too much stock into it.
Zombie preppers. Get those zombie preppers out there.
Every zombie movie is seen pretty much the same, too. The headshot. You got to go for the headshot. That's what takes them out.
For some reason.
Nobody has ever
explained why. Even though they're not living.
Yes. But taking the brain out for some reason of a dead thing.
Of an already dead thing, yeah.
I've never understood that. I really feel like that whoever came up with that was kind of like, well, I don't know. I got nothing else. Headshot? Headshot, everybody? Yeah. All right, we'll go with headshot. It's the same thing with vampires. How do you kill a vampire? I don't know. Stake to the heart. Say, because sounds good to me. Well, we'll probably come up with something better, but we'll put that on the board just in case.
And we'll work
with this for now.
Let's be honest here. It's movies. They got to do it quick.
Yeah,
you can't hack off all their limbs so they can't move anymore. Yes. You can't do that. It takes too long. So you got to do it.
And that's only good for one time, one scene.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
it's true. You can't do it over and over.
We will take a commercial break. We'll come back with another Vanny Wright story and plenty of good stories of the day for you here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:49 on the clock. Melissa, Seth, and James, and we're going to take you right to the top of the hour, where we'll lead you into CBS News, then Morning Magazine. In part one of Morning Magazine today, Stephen and Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods joining us.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Always love catching up with them and say good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods. Mm-hmm. They open their doors around 9. So been at hard at work for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And in part two at 10:30, Anna James, natural resources educator with UW-Madison Extension. Looking forward to talking with Anna.
Nice.
Awesome.
It'll be a fun conversation right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and take a look at another foolish criminal. This guy's plan was never going to work, but he went the extra mile to make sure it didn't. According to TMZ, the Hollywood Police Department got a call on Sunday from a guy threatening to blow up the Hollywood sign.
Whoa.
He said he'd destroy it with, you know, all kinds of different things if the cops didn't pay him $10,000 in ransom.
Seems a little low.
Holding the Hollywood sign hostage.
And, and you're asking police officers, like, you know, police officers don't make that much money, right, man? Like, I mean, you know, and they're not the people to pay, you know, that are going to, like, give you the money, like... I don't know. But it gets worse, you guys.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
But whoever he talked to wasn't the right person because he accidentally called the police in the city of Hollywood, Florida, not L.A.
Oh, no.
It sounds like the police in Florida let the LAPD know. Mm-hmm. Then they looked into it, but found that it wasn't a credible threat. There was nothing wrong with the Hollywood sign. There was no bombs or anything like that. Last we heard, no one had been arrested yet, but the LAPD is still investigating. Mm-hmm. And with the tech that we have nowadays, shouldn't be too hard
matter
to find
of time.
This. It doesn't sound like this guy's a coder or anything, like some mastermind, you know, coder or anything like that.
No,
so.
No, not at all.
I just love stories like this so darn much, and I feel guilty for liking them because something bad could have happened, and that's not funny by any means, and I'm not making light of any of that. But, I mean, come on. The guy wants to hold the Hollywood sign hostage and calls the wrong Hollywood. You can't write this stuff.
No one will believe you. No one believe you. By the way, that's a landmark.
Yeah.
And he's only asking for $10,000.
I really
think he could go a little higher.
This guy really did not think this through. Well, maybe he did, and this is the best he can come up with.
I got to pay off my student loans, man. Come on.
Right.
It would probably cost that much in explosives to be able to blow up the Hollywood sign. That thing
point.
Is huge.
That's a good
point. I just want to break even on this crime, man.
Yeah, I've been near the Hollywood sign before. That thing is gigantic.
It's huge.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I don't think that, I mean, you even if you were trying, you'd be able to blow up a letter or two, maybe.
Turn it to Hollywood, you know? There you go.
Nice. Some it was really well played. Some good stories of the day now. 2022 saw major advances and even victories in the efforts to combat several diseases, from industrialized to tropical ones. Starting at home, a study last year found that the U.S. cancer deaths had declined by 33% since 1991.
Wow.
This
That's
is
awesome.
Big.
That's the equivalent of around 3.8 million people alive thanks to various efforts to combat the disease family.
Wow. Amazing.
The report was offered by the American Cancer Society and published in the Journal of American Cancer Society. Just between 2019 and 2020, cancer death rates dropped 1.5%.
In 1 year.
Wow.
While the deployment of the HPV vaccine was correlated with a 65% drop in cervical cancer rates from 2012 to 2019 among women in their 30s.
Awesome. Nice. Very cool.
The monumental turnaround was not just the result of some experimental vaccine, but simple education, teaching people how to avoid drinking contaminated water and different things also helped with that.
Very cool.
And speaking of that, that actually leads into another one in 2022. The unwelcome waterborne guest create... Chad and like so water's gotten better in certain third world countries.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's
sure.
where they were going with that.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
So the guinea worm disease was also found in Uganda, which produced another medical milestone with the successful eradication of a recent Ebola outbreak.
Wow. Amazing.
And we're getting closer and closer to where Ebola is not a thing anymore.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's cool.
Well, that was a really good one.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. A 10-year-old girl in Pennsylvania named Olivia Wallace plays violin and recently wrote her first song. Her mom was so proud, she posted the handwritten sheet of music online, asked if anyone could play to see if it was any good, and musicians on social media did not disappoint. A bunch of people played it on piano, violin, and other instruments.
Aww.
But here's the best part. The director of music education at Seattle Pacific University arranged it for a full string orchestra.
Oh, wow.
That gave me goosebumps.
That's cool. Yeah.
The mom posted a follow-up video of her daughter watching them play it for the first time.
See, now this is something that good social media news. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yes.
You need a palate cleanser. Watch that video.
Nice.
Oh, I bet she is just thrilled.
Over the moon. Yep.
Yeah.
A toddler in Canada fell into an icy pond at his daycare last month, and no one found him for at least 5 minutes. But paramedics and doctors did CPR for almost 3 hours, and he somehow survived.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He's back home recovering now, and the daycare owner is facing charges for criminal negligence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is that a right part of a story with a good story of the
very
day thrown
good.
In.
Yeah.
And again, speaking to the importance of CPR.
Yeah.
And I really genuinely believe that I don't want to put any more on educators or a school system that doesn't have enough funding as it is. But we should be backing funding for CPR to be taught in classrooms.
Absolutely.
To every student.
Every student, yes.
I don't know if I'm comfortable saying it should be a requirement to graduate, but I do think that it should be in there and the option should be. I worry about the option part because I'm worried that not enough people will take it. But I do love the idea of a society where every graduating class is not just a graduating class, but they also are lifesavers.
Think about how you can, in just like a one simple week or something in a health class, you could teach it. You could do that. I don't see why you couldn't.
That, the Heimlich maneuver, I think both of those should be, like, every kid should know how to do those.
Yep.
It's just as much as we teach them how to tie their shoes, we should teach them these simple things that everybody can do that can help save who knows how many lives.
100%.
And we hear about it happening when fellow students save each other in the lunchroom or in the gym. You know, I mean, these stories, you hear them.
Yes, you do.
This is one where I don't have to get on a soapbox for. I used to, but I think that a lot of representatives, a lot of politicians get this nowadays and trying to find ways to get this implemented and get a bill where they would get the funding, because you can't just go, hey, teachers, we got something else for you. Like, no. We got to make sure that there are people that know how to teach this that are doing it, and that schools have the funding to be able to have these classes or have these lessons being taught.
Exactly.
A woman in Minnesota was driving Sunday night when she saw a house on fire.
Yeah.
She called 911, woke everyone up, and no one got hurt. Both people who were sleeping inside made it out, and so did their dog.
Oh, good.
It sounds like an electrical fire started in the attic. That one clits. That makes me uncomfortable. That hits close to, too close to home for me.
Right, right.
Glad everybody's okay on that one.
Yes. Yes.
Home Depot is spending $1 billion. Home Depot is spending $1 billion to raise its starting wage, so all employees will now make at least $15 an hour. The CEO said, quote, "The most important investment we can make is in our people."
All right.
And about time.
About time.
I think that it's noteworthy that Home Depot's doing this, and it's very cool that they are. I also am a little sad that it's taking, like, that they're one of the first to get in. And, like, they're not the only ones, and they're not the first to do this, but one of the first big groups to do it. I had really hoped in the back of my mind that an Amazon, a Walmart, a Nike, some big, big name would do this. Not to say Home Depot isn't a big name.
Yeah, they're a big company,
But those companies, those other businesses I talked about are world companies.
But they're no
Amazon. Yes, those are world companies. Home Depot is big here in the States.
Yeah.
Not as big around the rest of the world. I would like to see more companies, because it's not, minimum wage is not just a problem here in our country. It's a problem around the world.
Everywhere. Livable wage. I like livable wage better than minimum wage.
I do too. I've been trying to get better about the way I say that. I couldn't agree more.
It's more applicable to what wages are need to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like, too, we've talked this one through enough. You know, where it's... Like, how much more needs to happen? What do you need? How much of these people with old money and old control have to be, you know, stick on their little soapbox? Well, I made it work. Well, I was able to do it. Yeah, what did it cost, you know, to living back then? You know?
It was different. Yep.
The idea that, well, how come you don't have this? How come you don't have that in place or whatever? We can't be living in the past while we're trying to move forward as a society.
You got it.
And minimum wage, especially here in Wisconsin, is in the past.
Very much in the past, yes.
I wouldn't ask a 14-year-old to work for that salary.
That's ridiculous.
Let alone a grown human being.
Yep.
Well, and it does start at the top because the federal minimum wage is $7.25.
Yep, and that's
which
all.
Which is what Wisconsin's minimum wage is.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see if that changes anytime soon.
I would hope so.
I hope so too.
CEOs made over $2 trillion in the third quarter of this last year.
Oh my God, I can't even comprehend that.
Yeah. We had a great time this morning. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. A big thank you to you, Mel. Thanks for waking up early and joining us.
Oh, yeah.
Having your coffee.
Glad to be here, boys. I still have a little coffee left.
All right.
Great show, Seth. Thank you for the time.
I had plenty of coffee. Now I'm going to go turn circles in a chair.
That sounds good. We'll have Terry John sitting in with us tomorrow on the morning show. You guys stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at WFHR locally. Well, you know what? Steph does this better. You go ahead, Steph.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.